You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I think we got a hot ticket tonight in Buffalo, Bucks and Bills. Hot ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Get great deals on the hottest tickets. Experience it live with Vivid Seats. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Thursday Night Football tonight. I think this is sneaky humongous. I think this is like, maybe I'm overhyping this. Because I've played out, guys, the what if the Bills lose and they're 4-4 after eight games? Let's call it the midway-ish point of the season. They have extra time here before the trade deadline on Tuesday. This is a major story if the Bills lose tonight.
Yeah, if they're 4-4 and you look at their next four, they got big problems. So, I mean, they're on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals. They've got the Denver Broncos, which is a layup, but then the New York Jets and the Philadelphia Eagles on the road.
Could be three losses.
That could be.
Probably likely two, but still.
But that's what they're staring at. I mean, Listen, the New York Jets, they just beat the Eagles. They can beat anybody. So, I mean, like, this is a problem for the Buffalo Bills if they drop this one on Thursday night. But the issue with the Buffalo Bills is they make themselves easy to beat. There's no world in which they should have lost to the New England Patriots this past Sunday. No world. From a talent standpoint, head and shoulders above them, even with all of the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. I get that you don't have Daquan Jones. I get that you don't have Matt Milano, who's not only a hell of a football player, but one of your leaders in your locker room. I get that you don't have Trey White. But you still got enough to beat the New England Patriots, a team that had one win through the first six games. And you went out there and you gave them the game. And the crazy thing to me, Smalls, is that this team starts slow, right? We talked about the first halves. They've had 10 points combined over the last three games in the first half. That's an issue. So they start slow. They come back. They mount the comeback in the second half, and they take the lead only to give it back to the Patriots. It's a maddening team to watch. The mistakes are absolutely ridiculous. And if they're going to continue to play the way that they are, then this team's championship window is closed.
It's closed.
Closed. As constituted, when we start talking about the core players like Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, guys like Trey White, Steph Diggs, Mitch Moore, when we start talking about those dudes, most of those guys are in their 30s. Their window is closed. If Josh Allen and this offense continue to have multiple turnovers, and they've had multiple turnovers over the last three games, if they continue to do that, this team ain't going nowhere fast this season, and I think it's getting late early in terms of being able to win a championship with this core of players. It might be getting late early for Sean McDermott, too.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it since before the season. I thought he was a sneaky hot seat candidate, and I'll tell you something. When you look at this team offensively and you think about their identity, you think about Josh Allen first, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think about Josh Allen first, I don't know that I've heard a stat this season that is more glaring than Josh Allen has never gone two straight games without turning over the football. Mm. Never in his career since 2007 has had back-to-back games without a single turnover. And regardless of if they win tonight, I believe this team in season needs to change their identity. And I know Smalls' suggestion was Derrick Henry to the Ravens, and that's now, you know, everybody's kind of buzzing about that. They need to get Derrick Henry. I believe the Buffalo Bills need to become an old school NFC East ugly football team where it's just ground and pound, beat the crap out of the opposition, run the ball with Henry, run the ball with Josh Allen, and that's what they need to become. Because I think this identity of high flying Steph Diggs, Gabe Davis, double down on the tight ends with Kincaid and Knox, I don't think it's going to do anything for you.
But could that work? I mean, Josh Allen is a gunslinger. I know that you're saying
he doesn't need
him.
To be.
He doesn't.
That's
exactly
the point.
Right.
He doesn't need to be.
Change
like,
the identity.
Stop trying to drop Josh Allen back 40-plus times and thinking that's the formula for success. You already got enough of a sample size to realize that ain't it, bro.
Right.
No, him dropping back that amount of times does not equal winning for the Buffalo Bills. That is clearly not your formula for success. So try to be a more balanced offense. Less is more with Josh Allen. There will be times, like Dan Orlovsky has said before, where you need Josh to put on his cape. But that wasn't on Sunday against the New England Patriots. And that's the whole point.
Right.
Like, they don't have to rely on him to do that.
First pass was an interception.
Everything, every single game. They have to limit the opportunities that Josh Allen has to make mistakes, especially against inferior competition.
I guarantee you, Todd Bowles, who I think should be in running for Coach of the Year this year, if they win the division, absolutely. You lose Tom Brady, you take over second year, and you win a division like this, potentially. I guarantee he wants his team to allow Josh Allen to sling it as much as possible
yep.
tonight. I guarantee he's talking to that defense saying, if he wants to pass the ball 50 times, let him. We are going to stop the run. We are going to bait them to pass. Because Mike Lombardi, former NFL GM, I think had the best line about this. He tries to play shooting guard and not point guard. You need to be a ball distributor without turning the ball over, your assist to turnover ratio. And then instead, what needs to happen here is that you need to go out there and just give it to everybody else. Who's dancing? I don't even see what's
going on.
That's
Jay Williams. Jay Williams is behind
here?
You there.
Yeah.
Jay
Why
Williams
has it come
there.
In here?
Well, we're talking about Josh Allen, the Tampa Bay Bucks, Thursday Night Football.
Jay Will.
It is Jay Will. It's great. It's great
Where
to have him back.
He was right in the production
He's around.
Room.
He's around somewhere.
Yeah.
To your point, though, he needs to focus on trying to get the ball to his playmakers. Let those guys do the heavy lifting when it comes to the offense. He doesn't have to show off his cannon of an arm on every single snap. He doesn't need to try to run over every defender on every single snap. Lean on the other guys. You got teammates for a reason, dog. Football is the ultimate team game. Lean on those guys. Lean on a defense that's been opportunistic to take advantage of the short fields and the extra possessions that they give you. Josh Allen ain't doing that. He feels like he has to win the game on every single pass attempt, and that's a byproduct of the coaches routinely putting him in those situations and having an offense that's not balanced, having an offense that's one-dimensional.
We're getting to the point in the season where things are rounding into form and we're really learning about teams and we're determining whether we think they're actually Super Bowl contenders, if we can trust them. Do you really even know who the Buffalo Bills are at this point? Do you have any clue who
I
this
do,
team
actually.
Is?
You I do.
Okay,
I
tell
do.
Me, who are they? Because
yeah,
I really have no idea at
yeah.
this point, and I should.
Now, well, no. I think my answer is almost leaning into your question, which is, I know they're not Super Bowl contenders playing this way. I know if they continue to turn the ball over, they can't be in this spot. And, you know, they played in one of the most unique games maybe we've ever seen in the NFL in the last decade plus. Do you remember that primetime game a couple of years ago where it was freezing cold, awful weather, and Bill Belichick decides against the Bills to run the ball, what, like 46
yes.
of 49 plays?
I remember he threw the ball three times.
Right.
That's it.
I think that is one of the most disciplined game plans any head coach has ever put together in the history of the sport. How tempting it is to throw the ball when they know you're going to run, to do something that you know is more fun, more exciting, but you know may not be better for you. If I'm Sean McDermott, I am sitting down and I'm watching that game over and over again with Josh Allen. And I'm watching it. I say, you see what they did here? They had a discipline where the only thing they cared about against us was never turning the ball over. Because you give the ball to them a lot. And we need to change our identity where you have to understand you can become a megastar, an MVP, a Super Bowl winner by doing less. As crazy as that sounds, the amount of games where we would sit there and watch Tom Brady, where you knew he could throw the ball 50 times, but he threw the ball when the pass was available to him. He did not want to turn the ball over. I don't believe the Buffalo Bills have discipline within their identity to realize this guy needs to play point guard, as Mike Lombardi said, and not shooting guard. And how many damn times do they need to make the same mistakes before they change the way they look?
Well, here's the thing. How many times does the coaching staff allow them to make the same mistakes is the biggest question, Small. So I just went back and looked at the numbers. So since the start of 2021, Josh Allen has had 40 starts in the regular season. The Buffalo Bills, when Josh Allen throws the ball 40 times or less, they're 20-2.
Ooh, okay.
Say that one again.
When Josh Allen throws the ball 40 times or less, they're 20-2. Anytime he throws the ball more than that, they're 8-10.
So in other words, basically, if you're calling plays, if you're Ken Dorsey in Buffalo tonight against Tampa, 18 is your max in the first half of passes. That if you're closing in on 18, you need to stop passing the ball.
Yeah.
Well, or you just decide in the second half you're not passing the ball.
And matter of fact, let me clarify that. It's not It's not pass attempts. It's dropbacks. Okay? So anytime you have 40 or more drop, more than 40 dropbacks, they're 8-10. This is since the start of 2021. Anytime it's 40 or less dropbacks, they're 20-2.
It's a pretty glaring number.
It's obvious. Like, just stop dropping back to pass so much. Lean on the run game a little bit. Get the ball out of Josh's hands a little bit quicker. Good things are going to happen for this team, but it also leans into the strength of the team and the head coach. The defense has been really, really good for the last 4 or 5 years. Let those guys get stops. Let those guys create short fields. Let those guys create extra possessions from turnovers. Don't make it harder for them by constantly putting them in sudden change situations because your offense is giving the ball away because they're so one-dimensional. And here's the thing you got to watch tonight. That Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, second in takeaways in the NFL.
Yeah, oh, no, they want them to pass. Here's the other part of this,
they take the ball away at a high clip. I'm telling you right now, the Buffalo Bills better be very careful because, Ev, I think Ty Bowles is thinking exactly what you said. Let's goad them into making this a Josh Allen game rather than trying to be balanced on the offensive side of the ball. If they do that, that pass rush can heat them up, and our guys on the back end who are ball hawks can take advantage of errant throws and opportunities.
100%. And I'm oddly pumped for this game. Maybe it's more that I'm just a hater, and I want this Bills storyline to continue of all the turnovers and the mistakes. But this is why I keep coming back to Derrick Henry for the Bills. Because Josh Allen would have an argument of, yeah, I know I'm turning the ball over, but what? Like, why would you change the identity? Look at our roster. You got me Steph Diggs. You got me Gabe Davis. Why would we change that? And I'm not knocking James Cook. He's a younger back. If you look behind you and you see that dude, are you really going to walk into your coach's office and say, hey, we need to throw it more? Or then could Sean McDermott say, I'm sorry, listen, we have a first ballot Hall of Famer here. We're changing things up, right? If you go to a buffet and there's all kinds of great greasy chicken finger food, pizza, etc., you don't have the option to eat the salad. I'm sorry. But if you just go to the salad bar, you actually can't eat the pizza and the chicken fingers. They need to take the pizza and the chicken fingers away from Josh Allen. So just give him the salad.
Hold on. Are you saying Derrick Henry's the salad bar?
Yes. Yeah. He's more efficient. He gets you leaner and he gets you more productive.
Derrick Henry, big salad guy. Didn't know.
Didn't know that either.
Didn't know that.
No, I didn't. See what?
Yeah. He seems like a tomahawk steak.
Yeah, right.
To me,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
I was thinking of that kind of ribeye.
Yeah,
exactly.
High protein.
Nah, no doubt.
Whatever you want to say about that. Coming up, James Harden. He's back in Philly, but they're in Milwaukee. But he's going to what's going on with James Harden in Philly? We'll get to that next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do. You do. We all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. So the latest here in terms of James Harden. So he was not with the Sixers. Now he's back with the Sixers, yet they have said stay away for a little bit. They want to get him ready to come back to this team for whenever it is they think he's going to play. Now, I have a whole theory on this. I don't think he's ever playing for them again. And I think basically every single thing that he's doing is basically saying, okay, so every time they don't think I'm going to show up, I'm going to show up. And then when they think I am going to show up, I'm not going to show up. So now he's in the ramp-up time to get ready to get to play after missing time in the preseason. The moment I think he gets cleared to play is when I assume he goes back home to Houston.
Evan, real quick.
Yeah.
You mentioned not showing up. Are you guys missing someone?
I got to be honest. So I don't know where CeCe is. I didn't say it on the air because I thought maybe he was making, like, doing a tape spot somewhere, like for Get Up or First Take or something. And I didn't want to ruin that. So I saw him go to the bathroom.
Here
I was
he
talking to Mike Tannenbaum for a little bit. CeCe is now making his way back in here. Yeah, but Pat, I had this whole James Harden take and you interrupt me? I mean, how dare you? What happened to you just now?
I was trying to recruit Jay Will to come on the show. Then I ran into Harry Douglas, who's going to be joining us in studio in the next segment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm making the rounds, man. There's a lot going on here at ESPN. You know, we got, I guess, the sports smorgasbord with the World Series getting ready to kick off. And we got the NBA tipping off. And now we're in the heart of midseason in the NFL.
Hockey.
So, exactly. We got a lot going on.
We're doing a show, man.
I understand that, Pat. What do you want from me? I'm trying.
I want you to be the host of the show.
Wait a second.
Well, I'm
wait
trying
a second.
Listen, you can't ask.
Pat can't do that. Pat didn't show up yesterday.
Talk about. You can't ask me during the last segment to see if we can get Jay Will on the show. Then I attempt to go get Jay Will on the show during the break and then hold that against me because I'm late coming back. You just can't do it. You can't have it both ways, Pat.
Did you secure him?
We're working on that. It's fluid right now. It's fluid.
So you didn't even
it's
achieve
fluid.
What you set out to
it's
do.
It's fluid.
I'm going to also point out
that's
one thing.
That's not for a lack of trying, Pat.
It's fluid.
We came back. Smalls and I were talking about James Harden.
Yep.
You clearly were not here. On the TV side, they went to a two-shot instead of a three-shot.
Okay.
We could have kept it pushing. On the radio side, they didn't realize it.
No.
Pat stopped everything to make sure that we all pointed out that CeCe was late. I just want to be clear. We
had your back.
We weren't covering for you, but we had your back. There was nothing to cover.
Yeah, but Pat wanted to embarrass me because his team embarrassed themselves yesterday. That's all this is. That's all that happened. That's what this is. This is retribution from Pat because I made him feel small because his team got bounced from the playoffs by the Diamondbacks, a team that won 84 games in the regular season.
Ooh.
Great job, Pat.
How this turned on the Phillies is fascinating, but anyway.
No, but that's where it's coming from. There's hate in his heart because of what I did to him yesterday because his team is such a disappointment. Mm. And I don't understand why you want to do that, Pat. I'm not a bad teammate. I'm here for everybody most of the time. I was even here for you guys just now when I'm trying to get Jay Will on the show.
You just weren't physically
I'm doing
here.
The bidding of this show. That's what I was doing. I was trying to enhance the show by being able to bring on the former co-host in this time slot, Jay Will.
Right.
Everybody loves Jay Will. And that's the thing. Everybody,
when he's
in the building, comes around. They want to talk to him. And so I'm just saying, hey, Jay Will, good to see you. Hey, bro, can we get you back on the show just for a little bit? I'm trying to work that out.
Right.
But then people are asking me questions. Well, I don't understand why I don't understand why Pat Costello feels the need to attack me right now.
Because Evan had this whole James Harden take lined up.
And you stopped me.
No, it was Canty's fault.
Also, I think I have belief that James Harden will play for the 76ers before Jay shows up in that studio.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Well.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you transition from that one.
Well, no,
I can't wait to see this. I have something
because Nuno, it's interesting that he's chiming in on this because yesterday we introduced the ESPN phone tag where Greeny came in and we have an ESPN guest and they picked the next guest.
Yes.
The next guest is Joe Buck. And if not, Nuno potentially has to go into an ice bath for a week, basically, right? Do we have an update on Joe Buck, Nuno? Because now you're 6 days left to get him.
It is being efforted. The ask is in. The people that need to be aware are aware. So I feel kind of good.
I mean, Nuno, do you feel like you need to call a players only meeting after one day of trying to do this?
No.
You need to go Chicago Bulls on this thing?
I usually wait for the second day.
Okay, got it.
You going to be on time for that one, Canty?
I don't know.
Now, here's the question, guys.
Just depends.
We have different avenues that three of us could reach out to Joe Buck, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all know somebody who knows him. We could text somebody to be like, hey, can we get you on the show? Do we do that?
Nope.
Or do we let them effort it?
No.
Okay.
No, this is all on responsibility. Okay. Yeah.
Behind the scenes, we knew we were doing this. Yesterday on the way in, I was on the phone with Nuno. I said, what do you want the rules to be on this? Because we got to tell everybody the rules.
Yeah.
He said, 1 week, 7 days. We'll try to get the person within the week. If we get the person before the week, the clock then restarts, and we have 7 days from – like if Joe Buck were to come on today, and Joe Buck then picks the next guest before Monday Night Football, which he'll be on, of course, with Troy Aikman on Monday, then we have 7 days from today. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Nuno's rules, not ours.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't
want to. So, no assist from us is what I'm saying.
Unless he asks us.
Okay.
I mean, he's the one who set the rules. I mean, he's got to follow his. These are your rules, Nuno, are they not?
They're my rules, so I can always adjust them, by the way.
You got to agree with the Players Association here. That's the thing. We have a Players Association. We have Demora Smith representing us in this negotiation against Nuno. Anyway, all right, so James Harden back in Philly but won't play. Again, my theory that Pat interrupted and just totally made light of CeCe not being here, which is totally fine. I'm of the belief that every single moment here that everyone thinks he's going to do one thing, he's going to do another thing without actually acting in a way that is more unprofessional than he already has, i.e. he comes to training camp when nobody thinks he's going to be in training camp. Then he leaves after everyone thinks he's actually back with the team.
Mm.
Now, when everyone says, oh, well, he's not going to come with us the first trip of the season in Milwaukee for a game against the Bucks, then he shows up. They then say, stay home. He's now going to ramp up in Philadelphia, allegedly, to get ready to play in the NBA this season. I think the moment he gets cleared is when he goes back home again. And I think he's going to keep doing this yo-yo, show up and not show up when they don't anticipate it happening, just to create the circus in a quote-unquote more professional way until they do what CC has suggested, which is formally say, stay home and we're going to pay you to stay home. That has been half suggested so far, but not all the way in yet.
Yeah, they got to get off the James Harden merry-go-round because this is all he's going to continue to do, try to disrupt to make it, quote-unquote, as uncomfortable as he can. And I'm putting it in quotes because that's what he said. And, I mean, he called Daryl Morey out. He called him a liar earlier on this offseason when he was across the other side of the planet in China doing an event for Adidas, and he hasn't moved off of that position. So there's no world in which the Sixers can rely on him, can trust him if he's on the court with that team. So the best thing they can do is keep him away and figure out what their best options are in terms of moving forward. Now, they can put James Harden on ice. There's nothing that compels them to make a move anytime in the foreseeable future. They could just sit on this thing as long as they want to. Mm-hmm. James Harden has one preferred destination, L.A., and Daryl Morey doesn't have to move him there.
And Woj reported yesterday, Adrian Wojnarowski, unbelievable NBA reporter, reported yesterday, the Clippers are kind of quieting on this.
Yeah.
They're just going to say, we're going to go through our season right now. That doesn't mean, and Woj said it doesn't mean it's final, obviously, because the deadline's in February.
Sure.
But for now, Clippers are not in on this.
They're going to see what they have.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And so we'll see what ends up happening on that front. But I think the Sixers are best served moving forward and not allowing James Harden to be a distraction. They had some nice ads this offseason, getting Kelly Oubre, getting Pat Beverly, getting a depth piece in Mo Bamba, another big behind Joel Embiid. I think they've done a really good job of filling out their bench, because that was a roster that was top-heavy. Beyond their starters, they didn't have a lot of reliable players that can come in and give them good minutes. But now they have that. And so I feel good about the direction that this Sixers team is going, even without James Harden. That just clears the way for Tyrese Maxey to develop and to grow into the player they believe he can be. They believe that he can be a part of whatever big three that they have trying to build in Philly with Joel Embiid. So I mean, I like the direction that they're going, and just trying to keep a healthy environment, keep a professional environment with a brand new head coach in Nick Nurse. I think that is of the utmost importance in terms of this team being able to have success long term and be able to hold on to Joel Embiid, because that is what this season is all about. Selling to Embiid that the organization is on track to put him in position to compete for championships. It might not happen this year, but as long as it's pointed in that direction, I think that's something that he can get on board with.
Yeah, and I wonder what his teammates feel right now, because as a totally neutral observer with not one ounce of emotion in this situation, I'm already over it. I'm totally over it. I'm like, yeah. And I know that players respect other players trying to secure the bag, but also if I'm a player, I'm like, enough with this. I don't want to have to deal with this all the time. I'm here locked in doing my work, trying to put us in a position to win a championship, and I don't want to have to deal with this all the time.
But I'm glad you brought up the bag part of it, because James Harden being a distraction keeps everybody else from having the success that this team can. And if you don't win, guess what? You don't get your bag.
Yeah.
High tide raises all boats.
Yeah.
Don't take away from what I'm trying to do because you have an agenda that's beyond a team trying to win games.
Right.
And that's what James Harden is doing right now. He's putting self above the team. And so they won't say it publicly, but behind closed doors, they got a problem with what's going on. There's a reason why he's not on this road trip, okay? And the players that are on that team don't want him there.
Yeah.
If you have the reigning MVP and your singular goal, and I agree with you on this, CC, is to get him to be convinced to stay and not to win a championship, you have a problem. You have a big problem because their goal this year, as you said, is just getting him to want to be there. It should be to win a championship. Harry Douglas, host Freddie and Harry, will join us next in studio. It's on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wave them like it just don't care. Yeah. Now your life is grits and all the... Everybody let me hear you say, oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't do it. I can't dance.
Oh, obviously.
I can't dance, Harry.
You don't even like Outkast.
Maybe that's why he doesn't like Outkast.
Because he can't dance.
Oh, no, I can dance. I can dance, just not to Outkast. It's unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
I don't know how I get up every morning and do a show with this dude, knowing how he
save
feels about Outkast.
Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com for more information. Yes.
Exactly. Is that the worst take you've ever heard? Evan's take on Outkast?
It's up there. It got to be top five.
Top five.
And I don't think it's three, four, or five. It might be two.
Very curious as to what one is. Harry Douglas is here. Freddie and Harry, of course. You hear 3P to 7P Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. You heard Charles Barkley with them yesterday. Barkley shouting out Harry the other day, which is awesome. Let's have you weigh in on one thing that I just saw moments ago. Michelle Smallman eating tortilla chips in the break that were all for everybody in the kitchen. You didn't see this. There was all these chips.
Yeah. I saw the chips.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you pass on them or you ate them?
I passed on them.
Salsa and guacamole.
Yeah. Did you eat? Smalls
ate
them.
I just had one singular chip. I wanted to see how salted they were.
Would you eat chips that early in the morning? Because I couldn't do it.
I'm a person that would probably, yeah, I would.
One really? Chip?
But well, I'm with, not but shaming with you on that.
Dip, though. I'm not a salsa guacamole guy, so I need mine with cheese dip.
Now, Harry, like I got a little bit queso. Of a hotter, I got a hotter take with this. I'm not a big finger food guy. Like, if it's finger foods that's out there for everyone, like it's similar to bar nuts. Everybody can just
oh, no,
put their hands
in. Oh, no, you can't eat
those. I can't, but I feel like the tortillas.
Bar nuts, stand away from them. Yes. Not my cup of tea, Chris.
I'm just saying, the tortilla chips that are there for everybody to just kind of dive in and get in on, I'm going to pass on those,
like,
dog.
What is the place?
That's a hard no for me.
What's the rest? Is it Texas Roadhouse that has the peanuts that they
on
pass
the floor?
Yeah. I don't do that either.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But that at least has a shell on it because that's at least covered up, right?
Yeah.
What CeCe's saying, I totally agree with. The amount of dirty hands that are sitting corner, there, yeah. Oh, grossing me out on that. Smalls is fine with that. All right, Bills and the Bucks. Bills and the Bucks tonight. Your hometown team in Tampa, where you are from originally. We are oddly into this game tonight because of the I guess, masochist kind of storyline of if the Bills lose, what it means for them at 4-4. Fill in the blank. If the Buffalo Bills lose tonight and drop to 4-4, they
need to consider bringing somebody in defensively. Because I think when you look at this football team, they have pieces missing at all three levels defensively, right? When you look at Daquan Jones, I played with Daquan in Tennessee. Did a tremendous job up until he got hurt over in London with the pec injury. And then you look at Matt Milano. That was the quarterback of that defense, playing amazing football last year and this year. You lose him and then Tre'Davious White in the back end. Those are key pieces. So if they lose this football game tonight, I would say it's because of the defensive players that aren't available to them because of injury, and also the defensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have gotten to Josh Allen, kind of like we seen the New England Patriots defensive line do last week. Even though they only had one sack, they made Josh Allen be sporadic and scramble all over the place.
No, hold on, Harry. I hear what you're talking about, and the attrition on the Buffalo Bills defense is real. But so are the turnovers on the offensive side of the ball. Multiple turnovers in the last three games. They've lost two
first
or three.
First play of the game last week.
They've lost two or three, and it should have been three had Tyrod Taylor not checked that play at the end of the first half when they were when the Giants were up in Buffalo. My whole point is this. With Josh Allen continuing to turn the ball over, interceptions in the last three games, How can you trust what this team can be if that's going to be the offense and the quarterback play that they continue to get?
You can't. You can't, because at the quarterback position, the most important thing is what, Canty?
Taking care of the football.
When you get in those offensive meetings on Wednesday and you go over your offensive must, the first thing for the offense normally is we must take care of the football. Don't give the football away. And then defensively, it is create turnovers. So if you're consistently giving the football away, you're going to be behind the eight ball. But I will say this. A lot of times with Josh Allen, his talent is so amazing. Sometimes it makes up for it. Sometimes it doesn't, though. And that's the give and take when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen. My problem with them offensively is it has to stop being Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs figure it out.
Yeah.
And I put that a lot on Ken Dorsey, right? You have to be more creative from an offensive standpoint. You have to be more committed to the run game, in my opinion, because I think, you know, James Cook is a solid guy. But you just have to understand how to utilize him both in the pass game and the run game and be consistent in doing so. But also figure out what are other ways that we can get Gabe Davis open? Shakir, what are other ways we can get him open? I think the offensive system needs to be opened up and more creative on that side of the ball too.
Harry, let's stay with quarterbacks and let's go to San Francisco. Brock Purdy in concussion protocol. Sam Darnold is going to get the start. What are your expectations for him as he slots in that offense?
Well, expectations. First, I want to see Sam Darnold. Can he prove that he can, you know, still be a starter in this league? And you never want the opportunity to come because someone else is hurt. Mm-hmm. But if you're him, from an individual standpoint, you have to take advantage of the situation, right? Because I think he's on his last leg, too, with the San Francisco 49ers and being a starting quarterback or wanting to be a starting quarterback in this league. So if he can go out there and orchestrate this offense, then there's no telling what may come of it, because he's a former first-round draft pick. And, Canty, we know this. Those guys are going to get chances on top of chances on
top
of chances.
No doubt.
No matter what. So can he go out there and orchestrate the offense? And I'm not going to sit up here and say it has to be at the level of Brock Purdy, but can you be some of the reason why things are going well for the San Francisco 49ers in this ballgame?
Yeah, and I think that is different than the extremes that people have gone to, because we are very much Brock Purdy fan club on this show, yeah. And I know you are as well. And I think by even suggesting, hey, this player, whomever it is going to be right there with Brock Purdy, is downplaying what he's done. And I understand the last couple of games, obviously a little bit different. Joined, of course, by Harry Douglas, host of Freddie and Harry, part of College Football Game Day. Bear is awesome. Let me tell you why. This Saturday, the Home Depot will help you get the projects done right with Bear Premium Plus Interior Paint. Home Depot, of course, presents College Football College Game Day on ESPN, Utah, Oregon this week. Bo Nix, Penix, Caleb Williams, like, where are we looking right now in terms of the Heisman Trophy in college football?
I still have, even after, you know, last week and scrambling and trying to get a win for Washington, or was it 2 weeks ago? I have everything going in my head right now. But I like Michael Penix. And we can't exclude also J.J. McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
You didn't throw his name in the mix, but J.J. McCarthy right now is doing a tremendous job for the Michigan Wolverines and orchestrating their offense.
Boy, he made some NFL throws against
Michigan
State.
Tight window throws.
Buddy.
The one to the tight end,
yes,
down the middle.
Yes, sir, that whiz by the linebackers.
That's an NFL throw. That's anticipation, but also throwing the football over the middle of the field,
yeah.
Taking chances and believing that, number one, you can make that throw and that your tight end is going to be able to catch it regardless of the situation. You trust in your guy. So I really like what J.J. McCarthy is right now. Also, Bo Nix, got outplayed by Michael Penix. Michael Penix really showed up now, and I kind of put that on Dan Lanning, right? The head coach for, you know, Oregon. Why are you playing man coverage versus that those lethal wide receivers?
Maybe he was fighting for clicks.
Unbelievable. I like that. But you talk about a team, and Michael Penix, you've seen him freestyling on the sidelines about how he was going to come back and how he was going to do it. And then he has a receiver, Romo Dunze. I think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. And you leave that guy one-on-one to seal the game for Washington, you just can't do that. But for this Oregon, I would say, in Utah matchup, I'm looking forward to the physicality, because one thing we know about Utah and Kyle Whittingham is that his teams are going to be physical. The only time I can say in the last 2 years that they got out-physical in a football game was the game they lost this year to Oregon State. In Oregon State, in my opinion, they have one of the top five offensive lines in college football. Phenomenal running back, phenomenal shifty wide receiver, too. And then they got DJ Uiagalelei, who's running things for them. Now, for this matchup, I like the two-headed monster in the backfield for Oregon, Jordan James and Bucky Irvin. This is a balanced offense. And what I do like about Bo Nix this season is that he's trusting his playmakers. He doesn't feel like he has to be Superman all the time. So I really like his growth in the pocket, but as a quarterback as a whole.
Harry, before we get you out of here, the NBA tipped off this week. I know your brother played in the league, and yes, you follow it closely. Last night, we saw the debut of arguably the most hyped prospect since LeBron James came into the league in the early 2000s, Victor Wembanyama. What did you see from him in the 23 minutes he was on the floor?
Well, I would say this. I think you're going to have to figure out how he got to stay out of foul trouble, right? Because that talent you want on the basketball court. But I thought it was a decent first game. Like, you see, I think it was 9 points in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
But you also seen the mistakes and the turnovers for being so raw, right, being so young. I think he's going to be able to overcome that and learn, and Pop is going to be able to show him certain things. I remember one time he had Grant Williams in the post. Don't try to back down Grant Williams.
Nah,
Grant
that ain't going to work out for you, dog. Yeah.
Just shoot over the top of him. Just elevate.
He's a foot taller than Grant. That's what I'm saying. Literally just a foot taller.
But you saw in the fourth quarter, he decided to face up the next time and knock down the jumper.
And we call that a triple threat position, ladies and gentlemen. Before y'all young kids watch it before you go to school, you can pass, dribble, or shoot out of the triple threat position. All three.
Weigh in on this very quickly. At On Sports ESPN, at Upco Radio on Twitter. If Wemby's career ends with 10 seasons played, a title, and an MVP, it would be a success or a disappointment?
Success.
Same reaction, all three of you. Everybody pauses because of the expectations, how high it is.
Let me say this, though. Yeah. It's because people think winning titles is like going to the store and buying a pack of M&Ms. It don't work like that, man. Like, it's hard to win an NBA championship, or a championship period. So when we see people win them, don't take it for granted, because it's not it. I played football my entire career. Somebody to the right of me impeded one of my chances of getting to an NFL Super Bowl and championship.
Nah, y'all ain't had no chance in that game.
Yeah, obviously. Y'all ain't had no chance. Hell, we scored 2 points, and it came off of safety.
That's Atlanta and the Giants?
Yes.
Y'all
that was 2011,
no
right?
Y'all ain't had no chance.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
He's not nice.
There it is right there. Harry Douglas, you'll hear him with the great Freddie Coleman, the icon of ESPN Radio, the nicest human being. Harry's nice, but then there's Freddie. Freddie's just on another level
of
kindness.
Now, you stop that. Don't you do that to my co-host. You know, one fight, we all fight, Evan.
Just saying. Freddie's the best. You are, too. You're wonderful. You can catch him 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern, of course, part of College Game Day on Saturday. Coming up, I'm over at ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Smalls, we're going to have to give the ball back to Pat again, even before I'm over it, because this is what they want us to do. We'll do it. Look at the studio again.
What's going on, man?
He's not here. I don't know where he is now. I hope he's okay.
What's happening, Pat?
I don't know.
He's just a social butterfly. You know, I will say...
But I was just talking to Jay Will in the makeup room. He's getting ready for Get Up. So, nice. I mean, I did all the socialization stuff. Saw Orlovsky out there.
Yeah, it is kind of a cool place to be in the hallway right now because Greeny's there, Orlovsky's there, Harry Douglas is there, Jay Will's there, everyone's chatting.
Mike Tannenbaum.
Mike Tannenbaum is there. Everyone's chatting it up.
And CeCe's talking
and
to someone.
Chris Canty, apparently.
I don't know where he is.
Should I just call him on his cell phone right now, live on the air?
And put it on the speaker?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to call Chris Canty.
I'm looking through the window, by the way, and he's not coming. No, I don't see him.
And you would hear because he's not a small man. Let's see. Are we going to call him? Are you calling him on your cell phone or on the actual?
I put him on speaker.
Calling him on my cell phone.
Okay. Let's see. Does he have your number?
Probably not. He's not answering.
Oh, it's ringing.
Let's see. He's not answering. Is his phone in here?
Or
is
I can't even get him to answer.
I feel like we're prank calling someone. I miss prank calls. Those were so fun.
This is ridiculous.
When you would call one pizza place, then the other pizza place, and have them on the phone with each other, and they both think that you're taking their order and they're talking to each other.
Never did that.
No, neither did I. I think he's.
Oh, no, he's getting makeup.
He stopped to get makeup. You got to be kidding me. He stopped to get makeup in the middle of this. You can't stop and get makeup in the middle of being late again. What is with you today? What is going on with this guy? I always say about CeCe, there's nobody more prepared for a radio show ever in the history of this industry than this man.
Totally, so prepared.
What is happening to you today?
I don't understand what you want from me, okay? There's a lot going on right now. I'm just trying to manage it all, okay? I'm trying to get people on for our show.
So did I. I was out there.
The Seaport is hopping. It's buzzing. I got a lot going on. That's it. That's
it's like Grand Central out there. Everybody
just trust that everything that I'm doing is in the best interest of the show.
Did you secure anyone?
as Nuno would say, we're efforting, as we speak.
Okay.
We're efforting.
Okay.
Gotcha.
There we go.
All right, Pat. What are you over besides CeCe showing up for the show, I guess, at this point?
Anyone who says pineapple shouldn't be on pizza, pineapple's delicious. Put some bacon on there. Put some ham on there.
No, it's so good.
You know what? Let's go back to CeCe being a hater for no reason.
No, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Stop it.
I'm with you on
this,
Pat.
Pat has a great point.
Why are you guys trying to get my yum?
Javante?
Not you too.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the same thing before, but I tried it. I was like, oh, this actually is not that bad.
Oh, my God.
It's delicious.
Stop it.
You know you can't trust Javante's judgment. He's a Lions fan. So, I mean, you can't trust that.
He's born into that, though.
Exactly.
That's
ridiculous.
Not a choice.
Pineapple on pizza?
I think you could have
You don't need to fruit the pizza.
Disrespectful.
Don't fruit the pizza.
Horrible take. Absolutely horrific.
Awful.
The star of the pizza are the three things that are on it. The crust, the cheese, and the tomato sauce. Now, what you do around it is fine, but if you put pineapple on it, it doesn't taste like a pizza, right? If you want sausage or pepperoni, it has a pizza taste to it.
No doubt.
If you put pineapple on it, it's a different food altogether. Don't even put it in the pizza category.
Yeah.
Also, where are we stopping? We throwing apples on there, plums, you know, just all of a sudden pineapples?
Exactly.
Plums.
Strawberries on pizza.
You know what I'm saying? We just all of a sudden allowed pineapple to be on pizza?
Absolutely right.
Do I have a strawberry pizza?
It's ridiculous.
Order the fruit salad and put it on the pizza.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Awful take by him.
Next, Pat.
Great take. That's some bacon. It's awesome.
No, listen, I'm with you on the bacon, but the pineapple, no, I'm all about
pineapple and bacon. It's great. Anyway, people who don't clean up after their dogs, like, is it really that much of an inconvenience for you to bend down 5 inches to pick some? Why am I scraping my shoe off on the curb coming into my apartment? Because you are too lazy to clean up after your dog.
I agree with that. Oh. I also think that you could have just left it after people that don't clean up. Whether it's your dog, after yourself.
No, but a dog is a big problem. This is a totally different issue.
Yeah, it is.
Let me tell you, I was at home in St. Louis over the weekend. I was taking my parents' dog, Frankie, shout out to Frankie Smallman, on a walk at the dog park. There was two women in front of me.
Yeah, sounds like Frankie a mobster, doesn't he? Frankie Smallman.
Frankie Smallman,
you know? Listen, my dad's name, my great-grandfather's name was Francisco Antonio. My dad is Anthony Frank, so his dog is Frank Anthony.
Oh, you're in the mob for sure.
Shout out to Tony Smallman. Mob time. Frankie Smallman, baby.
Listen, he may have had to flee the country at one point and go back to the motherland. That's beside the point.
But anyway,
I'm walking Frank, and these women in front of me have their dogs. Their dog stops, goes number two. They keep it moving. I was aghast. I looked at my mom. I was like, do I say something? I could. And in the dog park, they just let it go, did not pick it up. I was appalled.
Do they think they're allowed to because it's a designated dog park, maybe?
But you, there are bags all around for you to—
Oh, they provide that
yes,
for you.
Yes, for
oh,
you to grab it and clean up after your dog.
I mean, it's inexcusable in general, but that's like extra inexcusable.
But just the brazen, I'm not cleaning this up attitude. I couldn't believe it, Pat. I could not be more with you.
I can understand why you don't want to reach down and pick up poo, but at the same time, that's the reason why I don't have a dog. So I agree with that.
But exactly. I also, again, I'm going to go back to the kid thing. Any parent out there with me knows how frustrating it is when your kid has a meal and then you're like, where did they go? And the meal is still all over the table. It drives you nuts. And it takes years and years and years and years to get it through their head. Just clean up after yourself. I'm not asking you even to do the dishes at 7. Put it by the dishes. That's all the dishwasher.
I just remember it didn't take me years to figure that out with my parents. And I'll leave it at that.
Thomas, give me one star. Those dishes were taken care of. Exactly. Let me tell you.
Oh, different year, different time.
There you go. Fair point.
Pat, go ahead.
Weight limits on bags at airports make no sense to me. These 50-pound weight limits, it's just arbitrary. They're like, all right, it can only be 50 pounds. We're going to charge you if it goes over that. But then you're going to take the thing out of your bag and put it in your carry-on. So it's the same weight. It's all going on the plane. Is the extra 2 pounds really going to take this thing down into the ocean? Yeah. What are we doing?
And Pat shows us many times that he has absolutely no business sense. It's the easiest upcharge in the world. You come into an airport, you have nowhere to go, you're not bringing another bag, they're forcing you into paying $30 to $50 to $60 extra because you have too many pairs of socks in your
bag.
And
all they're going to do is put a heavy tag on the bag and put it under the plane.
But that's his whole point.
My whole point is it's stupid and I'm over it.
That's his whole point.
No, it's not stupid. They're trying to make money. It's actually a business, Pat. It's a business. That's what they're doing.
Well, as someone that overpacks sometimes, I don't like it.
Right, but again, as...
I think it's discriminating against people who have great fashion sense. We need accessories. I need the shoes. I need the bags. Okay? Evan can throw a hoodie and a jacket and a carry-on.
I don't have good fashion sense.
I'm just saying, you don't need as many things as I do on a trip.
Yeah, but my stuff's bigger. So there you go.
Hey, way phrasing!
Right, see.
Wow.
You guys are unsportsmanlike.
You walked into that, Ev. You walked into that.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.